When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Talking Blues podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm joined by my friends, my co-hosts, Alex and Peter. And I said at the end of our last episode, the Liverpool versus Chelsea first match of the 2023-24 Premier League season recap, that if we got news during the week, we'd hop on the mics and record before their next match on Sunday against West Ham United, And that is exactly what we got. We got news. And we got a lot of it, so we're going to chat about it. And not only chat about that news, but at the end, we will still give our lineup predictions and a little bit of a preview to Chelsea's weekend match. Alex, Peter, how sweet is it we go against this match against Liverpool, we end up drawing with them, and we also had the news with our deleted episode that Chelsea did not end up landing Caicedo. They end up signing Tyler Adams as kind of a backup scenario replacement sort of thing. Adams actually does not come to Chelsea. Caicedo actually does not go to Liverpool. And we end up with Caicedo. And not only Caicedo, but there was also Lavia that was rumored to be heading to Liverpool as well. We get him too. Both of these deals are confirmed. I don't know. I know the Caicedo deal is 100% confirmed by the club. Is Lavia also confirmed by the club at this point? I don't know. I'm sure.
I mean, here we go from Fabrizio. I mean, that's as confirmed as you're going to get, except for the times when he's wrong. But
which is exactly what he said for Caicedo.
No. He did not give a here we go. He said no here we go because Chelsea will have a chance to make another bid. And guess what happened? They made another bid. He never misses. I'm telling you. The here we go, 100% confirmed. I have no doubt.
What about Tyler Adams?
It's double.
But that doesn't count because we were going to sign him and then we realized we could get Lavia. But like that doesn't fit my narrative of Fabrizio being the GOAT. So doesn't count. I'm going to pretend he never tweeted it.
It's double confirmed. It's Ornstein and Fabrizio confirmed.
And like a bunch of minor journalists too. So like if they're all wrong, then something's clearly like something crazy happened. Which, I mean, this saga was crazy. So, I mean, it could happen, but probably not.
Anyway, so apparently, according to my co-host, Caicedo, well, I said was confirmed, and Lavia apparently is also confirmed, so we have that done now. We also have Olise maybe coming to Chelsea soon, and we're going to talk about some other stuff as well. Okay, but anyway, before I completely give away our episode right here in the intro, Alex, Peter, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing well. I was already doing well after the draw, you know? We played very well, and now we're adding two quality players, so we're going to play even better, hopefully, during the weekend and the rest of the season. So I'm actually doing great. This is the most excited I've been for Chelsea in like the past year, probably, honestly. And of course, it's the transfer market, not actual games, because we can't do that here.
Yeah, that's I think, a fair description. Yeah, I'm excited. You know, we'll talk about the players specifically in a second, but, you know, beating out a huge rival in Liverpool, the two key signings, that not only benefit us, but also hurt them drastically, as they're going to be scrambling in the DM market for the remainder, you know, 15 days of the transfer window. So that'll be interesting to see what they do. But yeah, really, really happy about that. And, you know, excited to see what else, you know, happens. We got the Olise rumors that you mentioned on earlier on, Josh, which we'll get into in a you know, shortly after we talk about the two confirmed signings. So still a lot of movement here from Chelsea, probably some outgoings coming soon as well. But yeah, I'm excited to get into it. And I'll pass it back to Josh. I mean, I'll let Peter get the first dabble at Caicedo. I'm a generous guy like that.
Well, me? Josh, do you want to get any thoughts out first before, you know, I take everything either of you guys would want to say?
I mean, I just want to kind of go into Caicedo a little bit in the way of the specific facts here that, like we said, it was one of the biggest kind of transfer sagas in recent memory. But he is now a $150 million player, or not dollar, it would be pound player. You know, the U.S. the U.S. money stuff. You know how it is. His value.
Say 115 or 100.
115, 115.
Yeah. Okay. I was just making sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Double checking my stats that I'm reading right off the Guardian article. I see you, Alex.
I thought you said 150. All right. Sorry. I didn't.
We remember his value has risen drastically beyond all expectations since he ended up joining Brighton for $4.5 million in February of 2021. And Chelsea, who ended up having to pay more than they anticipated because of Liverpool's actions last week, are inevitably having to deal with more criticism about their wild spending after deciding to break the British transfer record for the second time this year. And then that's the thing. It didn't even stop at Cristiano because then we ended up signing Lavia as well. So just pretty funny stuff there. Okay, Peter, go ahead and take the next 10 minutes to yourself.
Oh, thank you, Josh. That's so kind of you. Well, I was going to kind of focus on what you're saying about breaking the British transfer fee two times in the same year. I was going to let Alex kind of talk about the positives, and I would just say the fact that we ended up with the players, so it doesn't really matter. But the negotiations for Casado were horrible. I don't know how many people were able to watch the original talking when we talked about Casado going to Liverpool and not Chelsea, where I kind of mentioned the same thing, where we could have paid $100 million to get him 2 months ago. And now we're having to pay $115 million plus Adams and a sell-on clause to get him when we could have had him 2 months ago. He would have already been here, would have had to learn the tactics already, could have had it completely done, wouldn't have had to be a big saga for that price. Horrible negotiations, but we get the play. Same thing with Lavia. It's definitely an overpayment for him. I don't think that goes without question. But we get a player who's only 19. He's already shown he can do it in the Prem. Super, super talented. So much potential. And I don't think anyone's complaining about the money being spent, because in the end, it's not our money, is it? And Todd Boehly, at this point, seems like he has literally just an infinite money glitch. He's just not going to stop spending. Obviously, you guys, like we were talking about, Olise is going to join, hopefully, probably, soon for even more. There's rumors of bringing in another goalkeeper, but an inexpensive one, I'm pretty sure. At this point, we're just signing everybody we want, but I just want to say, this is like the dream midfield rebuild we could have had, going from, unfortunately, a washed Conte, injury-prone Conte, Kovacic, who I'm a big fan of, Kovacic, Mount going out, and then bringing in these three, who are arguably three, if not the three, most talented and most promising midfielders in the Prem. It's just great to see, and I think that I'm just so happy about it. It's like, I was just smiling as I'm talking, because it's insane to think about going into the year that we would have had these three midfielders. Well, I mean, towards the start of last season, going into 2023, where it was looking awful, then getting Enzo in January and now getting them here. It's just an incredible rebuild, this incredible job by everybody. Sure, we overpaid, but at the end of the day, who has the great players? Not Liverpool, who may end up with Tyler Adams, which I just find very funny. I saw that one report. Probably fake or not confirmed, probably not happening. But if they end up with Tyler Adams, it would be.
Looks like
I did see that. But there was a report that they were interested, and that just shows how desperate they are. And I just love to see that. Chelsea up, Liverpool down. It's just great to see. I just love it.
Yeah, just getting into a couple more details before I give my opinion. So it's an eight-year contract plus an additional option year, so 9 years total, which is kind of crazy. The fee's 115 million euro, including 15 million add-on. So it's 100 million plus 15 in add-ons, but they're very achievable add-ons. So pretty much 115 million euros. You mentioned the sell-on clause already, Peter, so I'm not going to touch on that. My thoughts about it, it is a wholly overpay, don't get me wrong, but like Peter said, when you have the unlimited money glitch, it's not that big of a deal, I guess. It is kind of upsetting when you look at it in terms of how the negotiations went that Liverpool ended up offering 110 million, so Chelsea had to beat that in order to get him, but you know, when Chelsea could have probably had him for 90 to 95 million euro, if they had put that package together before the, you know, bidding war at the very end where they had that deadline and it was, whoever bids highest by midnight or whatever gets the player. So, obviously some mis-executed, I should say, negotiations by Todd Boehly and, all the Chelsea negotiators on that front. But I'm happy we got the player. Yes, he only had 1 year of production in the Prem so far, but it was a year of quality production, and I'm excited to see what he can do alongside Enzo, and I think it's going to be a really potent combo for, years, a decade to come, if you look at their contract length. So certainly a lot to look forward to as Chelsea fans. And then I'll transition to Lavia. Here we go. We didn't have an official announcement. We got here we go from Fabrizio. We got an Ornstein bomb. So the agreement is 53 million euro plus 5 million add-ons. So medical is coming up the next few days. Terms are, you know, being finalized, but it is all but confirmed at this point that Lavia will be coming to Chelsea, as he preferred Chelsea to Liverpool because of Chelsea's approach for him on deadline day last year. So that was pretty much one of the swaying factors here for Lavia. So interesting. Chelsea actually bid 50 million euro last transfer deadline day, if that makes any sense, last summer. And to be honest, they're only paying, assuming, you know, you get half the add-ons, only about 5 million euro more after a great season, obviously, that Lavia had with all the hype that he's gotten over this past season. So really not super bad if you think about the fact that they had 50 million rejected last summer, and now they're only paying there or thereabouts 55 million. So I'm excited for this move. 19 years old, he's young, he's got a lot of potential, he's quality on the ball. And I'm excited to see how Poch decides to use him, especially considering the fact that we have Caicedo now. Can Caicedo, Lavia, and Enzo coexist in one lineup? I don't know. I'll leave that to you for you two to decide and talk about when you give your opinions on it. But yeah, I'm super excited for the Lavia signing. And I think it's, you know, 55 million is a lot, 58 million, excuse me. But I think it's well worth it for a player of his quality and potential.
Yeah. So according to James Ollie, the senior writer for ESPN FC, it's pretty interesting because, so the personal terms, like you said, Alex, so we're recording this at 11 p.m. here Eastern time, about 5 hours ago, excuse me, is when Ollie wrote this saying that the personal terms are not expected to be an issue and the 19-year-old will undergo a medical later this week ahead of a move to Stamford Bridge. Liverpool had previously put in a 60 mil bid. So Chelsea, 58 mil, is 2 mil shorter than Liverpool's. However, this is another time, just like Caicedo, where the player, you know, being Lavia, Romeo Lavia, expressed his desire to join Chelsea, which allowed the Blues to get him for a cheaper fee. It's just very, it's not interesting to me, but it's just cool. It's nice to know that, you know, Chelsea is still a wanted club even after the horrendous season that was last year, that players haven't given up this being a desired destination for many. And now to see two players go at it and, not like Liverpool is like, oh my God, Chelsea arch rivals, but it is just funny, especially after we played them, that Liverpool is the club that gets rejected by these two players and saying, nah, we'd rather go to Chelsea than you guys, not going to lie. Is that what I think is just kind of the coolest part here. That's really all I wanted to say, Peter, and then you can kind of take over from there. But I found it interesting a little bit that, you know, even though Liverpool's bid was 2 million more than Chelsea's, Lavia just preferred to go to the better club than Chelsea, and you know, I agree with them.
Well, I think it's kind of, I'm just going to extend what you were saying. Well, if you think about it, all these players are buying, they're about 20. When they're growing up, they see Chelsea, they see us win the Champions League, they see us win the Prem as they're growing up. Then in Lavia's case, obviously, he also has Hazard playing at Chelsea too. And I mean, and if people watch the Caicedo announcement video, the first one, there's the picture. Sure, it was only a few years ago, but he's wearing the Chelsea jersey with his mom back when he was still in Ecuador. You can see that these teams, they saw success in the past, and right now they all they saw was Chelsea being such a successful club, and they grew up with that in their heads. And so they know how ambitious we are. They know how good we are. They see our project we have right now, and they think, okay, well, I saw what they can do in the past. I can see what they can do in the future. Why would I not want to join? And I think that's just great to see. Like you said, Josh, that even after a season where we don't have to talk about what happened in the season, but a bad season, we'll say, everyone still sees the potential we have because they know how good Chelsea has been and how good Chelsea will continue to be in the future. And then to go back to Alex's point, which seems like forever ago, about whether Lavia, Caicedo, and Enzo can coexist in a midfield, I think they actually have good balance. I forget exactly who posted it, but I saw a graphic on Twitter where they showed basically a web, if you've ever seen them, a graphic web of basically all their statistics, like progressive passes per 90, tackles one per 90, recoveries per 90, dribble success, and literally it covered the entire thing. It was literally a perfect three. You have Caicedo, who's definitely more of a defensive midfielder. Lavia is kind of a hybrid, but also more defensive. And then Enzo, as we know, can work as a defensive pivot. But obviously, I mean, you saw it in literally the first game of the season, the only time since he's been here where he's been able to actually go forward and have creative freedom and the opportunity to go forward, how good of a game he had. Man of the match performance, arguably the best game he's played under us when he's able to have that license to go forward. And I don't see how they can't all work together because they literally all complement each other perfect. And that's literally like my dream midfield three. They have everything you could ever want in a midfield. And they're all still young. They all are on prison sentence long contracts. Basically, the next decade, we're going to have this midfield. So in like 3 years from now, if we don't spend $100 million on somebody else to replace one of them, if they end up doing poorly, we're going to have a great midfield with great chemistry. And it's going to be so, so fun to watch because by that point, everyone else in the team will have developed and will have such a great team around them too. It's just going to be, I'm very excited. I'm excited for this year. Then I'm also excited for what we're going to see in 5 years once all these players start to develop. Because right now, I can understand people still being shaky, but no one can deny that in 3-4 years, if our players live up to the potential they have, we're going to be a scary, 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 scary team.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I'll transition now. We got so many signings to talk about. We got to move on. We got Olise now from Crystal Palace. Apparently, Ornstein came out with his bomb, as always, saying that Chelsea are going to activate Crystal Palace's 35 million euro release clause for Olise, or I should say Olise's 35 million euro clause. He's 21 years old, slot in perfectly as one of our attackers in a 4-2-3-1. I had three at the back. I have no idea where he would slot in, but a promising young attacker. He's still recovering from injury right now. I believe he'll be back in September, if I remember correctly. Looking at his injury timeline for when he was first rumored to us. And it does sound like he is inching closer to joining Chelsea. Once again, I'll repeat the fee, 35 million euros there, thereabouts. So we'll see what happens with that. There have been some weird like tampering allegations that Chelsea had been doing some shady stuff behind the scenes with Olise. I'm not going to get into that because there hasn't really been anything that's been backed up to say that that has happened yet. So I'm, not really going to get into that, but I'm just going to say for now, I'm hoping that it's just other clubs being salty right now, but we'll see.
Well, you think Olise signing is mainly directed towards, because of the Nkunku injury, Chelsea want to bring in another attacker that can play up front, and Olise can definitely do that job well. Alex, kind of backing up your report about the injury, I did see that it says he's expected to be back shortly, so hopefully that is September if we have to wait another 15 days or so. And you would think with this signing that Chelsea makes because of the Nkunku injury, that means Christopher Nkunku won't be back. I mean, we know about the 4 months, but it honestly could mean longer than we know. Or maybe Chelsea just, they don't know the exact timeline with Nkunku, and he could be returning maybe not until 2024, if not later into next year. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know. But I did kind of, that was kind of my initial reaction when I saw the signing because it was unexpected to me. So when they made it, I was like, that doesn't look good for Nkunku. And honestly, those were my original thoughts about it. Nothing against Michael Olise. He's a very good player and he played very well for Crystal Palace. And this release clause is honestly in this current market, not too crazy to pay for, but that does put Chelsea at the like 1 billion mark in the last 12 months of total spending. So, there's your figure, groundbreaking figure for you. But yeah, I would say that's my original, my first thoughts on the signing.
I think that's fair, but I also think it's important to note that even before the Nkunku injury, there were reports from, I don't remember who, that was a long time ago, but in preseason that we were looking for someone like, we were also linked to Mohamed Kudus from Ajax. And he also plays in a similar profile to Olise, where they can play in the middle at CAM or on the wing, which they both were. And I think we were interested before that. But I definitely do think that the Nkunku injury definitely probably gave Chelsea more motivation to get it done. But Olise himself is obviously injured. So I don't know how much of a direct replacement to Nkunku's injury it is. If it's not just, like you said, the release clause being good in this current market and we see a promising player in a profile that we need that we can add to our already insane amount of youngsters who have great, great potential. I think he will come in, and obviously since Nkunku is injured for so long, I hope that Olise's injury is not as bad as that and he'll be back soon enough. I would assume that based on us actually activating the clause that we that Chelsea themselves agree with what I'm saying right now. But I definitely think he's just another promising player that we can add to our already loaded list in a profile that we need. Really, really like the signing. Super, super talented. But then again, who isn't talented that Chelsea are signing at this point?
All right. And then our final, move here that is our in outgoing, I should say, our first outgoing, actually. There we go. Let me translate that to outgoing. Lewis Hall is rumored to be heading to Newcastle, possibly on loan. There's some financial fair play issues, which is what Fabrizio has been saying. I'm kind of confused about what that means because he would like Newcastle having financial fair play deals, but issues, I should say, but isn't that like a loan? So would it be that big of a deal? Like Lewis Hall's wages could not be that big. I know he just got a new contract, but I can't imagine it that big of an issue. So interesting tweet from Fabrizio. I'll read the exact thing actually, because I was confused by it. Maybe if you hear it, you'll be like, oh, Alex, you're dumb. And it's pretty simple. But Newcastle are keen on signing Lewis Hall from Chelsea as new fullback as Crystal Palace deal is in the standby. Hall signed new 6-year deal at Chelsea, but could leave on loan. Not easy to find way due to FFP, but Newcastle interest is genuine. So is that on the Chelsea side, which I can't imagine it is because it's an outgoing, or would that be on the Newcastle side? But then that also doesn't make sense because it couldn't cost that much as a loan. But anyway, I'll send it to you guys over for quick thoughts on that.
I mean, I'm also kind of confused. I agree. I would also assume it's on the Newcastle side because I don't see how us loaning out Lewis Hall would suddenly tip the balance of FFP when we are literally closing an agreement to sign a player for $60 million. So I would have to assume that it is on Newcastle's side. But I mean, who knows at this point? I thought Crystal Palace would have been a better move for him, especially because if you think about it, Newcastle at this current time are literally one of our rivals for top four. And I think Lewis Hall is going to be a very good player, whether he does play wing back for them, which I think he will, but he can also play in the midfield. He's a very talented player, and loaning him to a side which we are directly competing against to get back into the Champions League, maybe not Champions League, just European football in general, I think that's dangerous, especially when he's someone of his quality. But I mean, it might not even happen, like you said, because of the FFP regulations. I'm not a fan. I would prefer if we could restart the talks to Palace, but I don't really know what's going on. I don't think a lot of people know what's going on, but I guess we'll just see what happens. And maybe by the time after the game on Sunday, we'll actually have a resolution. But as of now, not really a fan.
Well, from what I'm reading here, Alex, and I don't know if this has anything to do with the Fabrizio report about the confusion there. But from what I'm reading here on the side of Newcastle is that instead of having them loan him to Palace or another club, Chelsea seem to be looking towards changing their mind and actually potentially sanctioning a permanent exit. So that could be what is going on and why I don't know the exact words that you mentioned with Fabrizio, but that could be the reason for that. Is that they're trying to figure out the money standards if they were to not loan him out, but instead sign him fully and he would become a Newcastle United player.
I would like that even less. I'll just jump in here. I know you talked about Alex directly, but that would be even less so because I think he is very, very promising. But I would just say Newcastle, my part Saudi friends, you can have Mark Cucurella. He has very nice hair. I think your fans will like him a lot. Very nice guy. You guys can have him on loan if you want instead of Lewis Hall. I'm just proposing that if they're interested.
All right, and then our final a quicker thing here, it's Delvin Washington confirmed, I believe, now here. Wait, let me bring up the tweet so I'm not sounding stupid. I don't want to mess up any of the details. David Washington, sorry, why I got Delvin, the I and L mixed up, has signed his contract, completed medical as a new Chelsea player. We talked about this I want to say a couple episodes ago, but I just want to bring it up because it is now official and confirmed. He is joining from Santos, 2005 born striker. He is joining €16 million plus €4 million add-on deal. And he is apparently, it sounds like, going out immediately on loan to Strasbourg. Just wanted to bring that up. Anyone have any thoughts on that before we go to lineup predictions?
I'll just say about the Lewis Hall FFP things, if it was on our side, we would not be signing another Brazilian teenager for a large fee if we were really worried about FFP. But that's it.
Fair enough. All right, Josh, you ready to move on to the lineups?
Yeah. Yeah, let's
predictions.
Do it. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. You want me to go with mine first?
No, you were talking. You were talking. So, I mean, you kind of, you should have just continued it instead of asking.
Sorry.
You ruined the flow, man. Come on. Unbelievable.
I know. I suck. All right. I'll get into mine. I think we all might have different formations, or one of us does, or someone does. I don't know who. So just announce your formation before you get into it, and then just go defense, midfield, and attack, and we'll do it all three separately anyway.
Are you saying, say we all say the formation now and then we go into the lineup, or you say the formation before saying the lineup?
Before you say your lineup. So like, okay, I'm saying it right now. Like, I have a 3-4-3 going into it. I have a 3-5-2. Sorry about that. I have 3-5-2. I'm going to say they're sticking same shape, or Chelsea's going to stick in the same shape as they had against Liverpool. In goal, I got Sanchez, De Sassi, Silva, and Colwell as my defense, with James and Chilwell at wingbacks.
I think, well, okay. The thing is about Poch is that in the presser, he said that he kind of had the formation, which looked like a three back, was kind of a four at the back anyway, with Colwell at left back more so, and then having the wing, allowing the wing backs to kind of push up, which I thought was interesting. But that being said, I think that it ended up being more of a three back anyway. But I have him going back to a 4-2-3-1, which we did in preseason mostly. I have Reece James at right back, then Thiago Silva and Levi Colwill, and then Ben Chilwell on the left.
I have Chelsea not switching it up. I have the same thing as last time. I think, Alex, you have the same formation, right? The 3-5-2, and that is what I have Chelsea going with in this match. Sanchez, same thing, starting in goal. De Sassi, Silva, Colwill, and Reece James in my back. I'm just going to keep going. We have Enzo Fernandez and Conor Gallagher again. Gallagher was a little iffy with the ball in the first half against Liverpool, but I think he definitely got better as the game went on, and actually got an appreciation post today from the Chelsea social team. So that was pretty interesting, I guess. And then Ben Chilwell there as well.
For my midfield, as I said, I was doing the 4-2-3-1 that we practiced. So I guess I'll do the two DMs and the cam as of now. And I have Enzo Fernandez, and then the new signing, Moises Caicedo, next to him as the two CDMs, and then have Carney Chukwuemeka starting at cam. I don't think we're going to play a 4-3-3 or something, because I don't think Lavia will be ready in time, especially because we haven't officially signed him yet. I would love to see it, though, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
At my midfield, I got Enzo, Caicedo, and then Chukwuemeka at the 10, and then my two forwards, I got Sterling and Jackson, same as against Liverpool. And that's my 3-5-2 right there.
For me, the three, I have Nicholas Jackson, of course, starting up top. And then I have Raheem Sterling starting on the right, who I think surprised me coming into the game. I thought he was going to have a horrible game, and instead he only had a solid game, which I was very happy about. I talked to the people about this, was that he was good because he facilitated play to Reece James, and we played through Reece James a lot, which I think he did very well. And then on the left, obviously didn't get a start, did miss a winner close to the 90th minute. I have Mykhailo Mudryk. Hopefully he can actually get around the keeper and score this time instead of, I mean, he didn't really mess it up, but he kind of messed it up. But I also am kind of just don't want to say that because we paid so much for him. But I have him starting on the left. Hopefully he can get his first goal this season.
And then up front for me, I have Raheem Sterling and Nico Jackson. If you can't tell, I have the exact same lineup as last match. And no Caicedo starting for me. I think he comes off the bench and makes an appearance in this one, or just doesn't play at all. You know, Alex and Peter gave me a little bit of side eye when we talked about it before.
No, Alex did. I said it was a completely reasonable take. Okay. I said you had good ball knowledge, because I don't know how ready he'll be and if he'll know the tactics, but don't throw shade at Alex. I don't appreciate this. I'm catching strays right now. Come on now.
Hey, no, Peter, I think you deserve the strays too. I don't want to be single-handedly attacked here. You know, we were both skeptical.
I literally defended him. I defended him. No. You're alone here, buddy. I agree with Josh, and I could see the possibility that he doesn't play. I think he would at least get a sub appearance, but I could see him not starting, and I could see Gallagher starting. I have Caicedo in my lineup because I think we'll want to show him off. But Josh, your take is completely reasonable, and I appreciate you switching it up. Thank you.
All right, I think the only thing left is score predictions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And go ahead.
Okay.
You don't have to ask. Go ahead.
I'm a polite guy. I like waiting so for others. I want to make sure we're all, you know, on schedule here. All right, my score prediction. I'm going to go 1-0 Chelsea win. I think it's going to be tight. 80-plus minute late goal. Nico Jackson. Bang. Caicedo assist.
Ooh, bold take. I don't know how much assisting he will do from the deeper CDM spot, but I personally have a 2-1 win. I think Enzo gets an assist from more advanced position, and I think Mudryk also gets his goal in the end from like a through ball from Chilwell, we'll say. And I think the goal from West Ham, they obviously just signed James Ward-Prowse. I think he will commit a silly foul. Someone will, maybe Cole will, still a bit inexperienced. Not really, because he played at Brighton, but that's my kind of thinking. And then James Ward-Prowse, as we know, arguably the best free kick taker in the world. He's going to score one if we give away any silly fouls. So I'm just going to assume one of the silly fouls we do will end in a goal.
And for me, it's pretty crazy. Remember, I was the one who predicted a 2-0 loss for Chelsea against Liverpool. I have a 3-1 victory for Chelsea over West Ham United in this match. I gained a lot of confidence from what I saw, and I really hope they don't let me down in this game. But after last week's match, I don't know. Chelsea really gave me a whole lot of confidence in the club and made me kind of buy back, and it's something that I've not been able to witness for any of you American fans with my beloved New York Yankees here as a baseball fan and a Yankees fan. They have had the worst season possible ever. And so basically in like the last like 10, 20-ish years, and the reason I'm making this comparison, sorry, let me actually bring up why, is because they've made me have no hope to buy back. And after last season with Chelsea, I was very skeptical on how long it was going to take them to kind of win me back. And it's really sad to say, but it's kind of like a breakup and you still really like the girl, because immediately if she texts you again after, you know, you break up and she's like, yeah, do you want to hang out again? You just immediately fall back in love, because that's what happened after this last match. So,
you know a lot about this, Josh?
Yeah, I do. And you don't?
You know,
it was a good reference. You had to say that.
For
anyway, I apologize. No, now we're gonna have to redo it.
Amazing. Yeah.
I saw no. I saw the opportunity. I saw the opportunity and I had to take it. No. Sorry. I'm sorry for interrupting. I just had to. It was too good. It was too good to pass up.
See, and now since we all talked, I was gonna say just cut that out, but you know what? I guess keep it in at this point. It was a really good freaking thing. I had a great thing going and Peter had to cut in there. I really don't understand it. But you know what?
God damn.
Yeah. Alex, don't you agree? I was cooking.
All right, let's tone down the cursing a bit, Alex. That's a bit extreme here. We like to keep it civil here, okay? Calm down. Let's just close the episode out before it gets too heated here. I don't wanna calm down, Jamal. Don't pull out the nine.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I think it's for the best of all three of us if we just wrap this one up for everyone listening too. So Chelsea play West Ham United, like I said after last episode. If you haven't listened already, go listen to that recap against Liverpool. But it's a same day, same time next week. Sunday, August 20th at 11:30 a.m., Chelsea, West Ham. That's 4:30 p.m. for everyone watching in the UK. What you can do to help support us is subscribe to the podcast and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you listen. Alex, I don't know, you chime in and tell me, have we been having some good support over the start of the season episodes? I don't look at that stuff, you do, so I honestly don't know.
Yes, we have. We do appreciate it. We especially after a
hiatus,
reasonably long break, or very, very long hiatus / break / hibernation period. Yes, we definitely really appreciate it, and we're, you know, excited that the season's starting. A lot of good things happening, so it's all good in our land, I guess.
So we thank you so much for the support, and thank you to keep on listening. We ask you to do that, because we will actually be having content pretty frequently. So anyway, thank you for listening. We will see you next time, hopefully after a Chelsea win against West Ham over the weekend. See you. Go Blues.